You're listening to Around Comics, episode 123. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Monday episode, like this one, we'll go over the week in comics news, review our favorite books from the previous week, and take a look at what is coming up this week. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello!
Marvel's exclusive artist, Mr. Scott Young.
Once again, back, it's the Incredible.
Jesus.
What?
That's why I turned your mic down.
Whatever.
Your booming voice.
Where, you're so loud.
So bossy.
Yeah, I'm bossy.
And, of course, we have Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm exclusively signed to Miller High Life.
It is the champagne of beers.
Yeah. Tom is exclusively signed to drunk. To drunkness.
Yeah.
I think Crank has. Yeah, he's been infringing on that.
Crank got you fired from drunkness.
Well, we are...
That young go-getter.
That young Turk.
Like I said, this is one of our news and reviews episodes, and we're going to be going over all the news from the San Diego Comic-Con and whatever else has happened this week. But before that, I want to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
You're not loud.
Yeah. I've turned my mic down.
He's self-conscious now. He'll be all the way down to a whisper.
Your hair looks pretty.
Like it?
Yeah.
You got a haircut.
I did.
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
There's a guy outside with a giant parrot.
Actually, that was Norton.
Okay. Did he bring Ninja?
Norton, did you bring Ninja?
Is Ninja here?
No.
Ninja got big.
Yeah.
And I guess we should take a quick note here. This is our first live video streaming.
Yes, it is.
It's like the camera's not even here for YouTube.
Don't even notice it.
Everybody thinks that Tom and I will be the ones to cut up. We're like, oh, this is a bad idea. You two are like every 5 seconds.
Check out my webcam.
It's just another part of my monitoring of sound. Sure now it's video. Sure I have to make sure.
Everyone that watched this episode on Friday, thanks for joining in. It's already been fun to see who is tapped into the feed. So we'll try not to play for the cameras.
It's slightly sad, a little bit sad. It is Friday night, and it's a live stream. They have to be.
What else would you be doing on a Friday night?
Touching boobs,
please.
Tom's boob.
Credit to anyone who's touching boobs and watching this.
Oh, sweet.
Not if it's their own boobs, though. If they're touching themselves.
Yeah, no, they have to touch lady boobs. If you're gay, you could touch man boobs. That's equal.
But not your own.
We'll call that same points, yes.
Whatever you're attracted to.
Yeah.
Other boobs.
You prefer.
If you can't be with the one you love,
your dog.
You're with.
Yeah, if you like that kind of
thing. Massage your kitty.
All right. Well, I tell you what. What's that? Let's jump into the news. It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right. As you can guess, it was a busy week in news. We covered the Thursday-Friday announcements from San Diego on last Monday's episode. We're going to cover some of the stuff that happened the rest of the week or the rest of the weekend at San Diego and then what's happened after that. Start off, it was the annual Eisner Awards, which are held in San Diego every year. And we pulled out some of the winners here. I think everyone needs to know what the quote-unquote top creators and comics were from the last year.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
According to a panel of
DC really cleaned up in the Eisners this year. I think they ended up with 10 Eisners or something close to that. And Bill Willingham's Fables, 1001 Nights of Snowfall took several of those, including Best Short Story. I know that Jill Thompson got the Eisner for Best Painter, and some of that was from 1001 Nights of Snowfall. Other winners were the Best Single Issue was Batman the Spirit, number one. And I think when that came out, there were a lot of people that were already, that week were saying this is going to
be the best archival thing. Collection, Absolute Sandman, Volume 1. Very beautiful. Does anybody know with these books, does the book have to be published this year? Because every time I see the list of winners, I always go and look at it and like that.
I think
did that come out this year.
It's comic books, dude. I don't think there's a
any real hard test.
Is it from Eisner Award to Eisner Award because it's every July?
Oh, maybe that's
when
it
they
is.
Go up to heaven to ask Eisner what he thinks, yeah. And he tells them.
You know, Eisner and is sitting in heaven on his cloud, going, "That book sucked." Fuck, what are you guys doing to my name?
Drag me through the mud.
Some other winners were Best New Series was Criminal by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Best Limited Series went to Batman Year 100 from Paul Pope. The Best Graphic Album is American Born Chinese. This is one I haven't read. Have any of you guys read that?
No,
but it's ABC, which always distracts me. That's American Born Chinese. That's serious.
Came from First Second Comics.
It's gotten a lot of praise. I just haven't.
It's one to throw on the
list. You're a contrarian.
Ed Brubaker continued to walk through the Eisners, snatching up a Best Writer Award. Best Writer/Artist went to Paul Pope.
He's won like 12.
Yeah,
Brubaker now has won like 12 Eisners.
Yeah, and he cleaned up the Harveys last year. Yeah.
And he stole actually the Eisner statues from other people, even if he didn't win it.
I've heard that.
Yeah, he punched Bill Willingham in the face.
Yeah, and said, "Take that,
take that,
big bad wolf."
How about a fable about me kicking your ass?
Yeah, once upon a time, pussy.
I can make that become real for you.
I think,
then you lived happily ever after. Not.
Best cover artist went to James Jean, and I think we all love his Fables covers.
Sure.
Best coloring went to Dave Stewart.
Jackie Stewart. I met Jackie Stewart. I ever
really?
Tell you that story? Yeah.
I did. He'd probably be more interested in the Eisner
man.
Awards.
He's Jackie Stewart.
He's a very famous horse jockey.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a little Scottish man.
Yeah, he's very. He's wearing a kilt. I was at Arlington Raceway.
Get the fuck away from me.
He actually said, "I met him. Did you?"
Or no, he's not a horse racer. He's a car. He's a famous. Like Formula One race.
He must be really famous. The fact that
I didn't really know him at all. I was
horses, Formula One.
I was at like.
What's the difference?
He's this really well-known famous guy.
Jackie Stewart. He's a car. Yeah, that's
very
right.
Very small.
Yeah. I was thinking it was at the track.
He does something where something has to beat something else to a line.
I was at the Tropicana 500 last year, 2 years ago, and I met Jackie Stewart. I didn't know who he was. Somebody I was with was very excited, and I just saw an old little Scottish dude.
Do you feel foolish at all using the word famous to describe him now?
Yeah.
None of us
well,
know
in that world, he is, I guess. He's, I don't know.
And
worldwide, he's famous.
Last one here. Best publication design. I'm going to pull Sal from under the bus. The best publication design.
Good luck.
Was Absolute DC, The New Frontier.
Bullshit. I don't know.
What?
I'm fine with that. I
think awards.
Your muster?
I mean, awards really shouldn't. I mean, they shouldn't exist because
they taint the true creativity.
Yeah, I mean, life isn't about awards for living.
Have you ever won an award for your art in comics?
I'm gonna say no.
I win awards on another level.
Every time someone comes out,
God gives me a reward.
Every time a kid who's blind or in a wheelchair comes up to you and says, Scotty,
save my life.
The one time I walked is when I had to walk 5 feet to get the new issue of New X-Men.
Right.
And you look at him and you
say, an award enough.
That's an award.
Yes. I call that the I'm the shit award. You're blind and I'm your favorite artist, and that means a lot to me.
You're blind. The only thing I can see, I see the world through your giants.
All right, moving on. DC announced some of their new direct-to-DVD projects. We've got New Frontier coming out beginning of next year. What's the Legion?
Legion of Superheroes. Is that it?
Yeah, there's. What are some of the other DVDs? Well, anyway, those are coming out the end of this year and next year. But they announced the new ones, which are Wonder Woman and a Batman anime. And the Wonder Woman seems to be just a basic retelling of the origin story. It's it'll be coming out in Q4 of 2008 or Q1 2009. And the Batman anime is going to be released 2 to 4 weeks in advance of the Dark Knight film, and it is apparently a story that takes place in between the two Batman Begins and Batman
the
Dark Knight.
With a PG-13 rating, how much tentacle rape will they be actually able to show?
I heard the Wonder Woman is very little.
I need some Obergeist shit going on.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Mecha Batman.
I think it's nice that I mean, Marvel is definitely hitting the big movies with Iron Man and all that. DC's direct to DVD project seems that there's a lot of care that's going into these. I haven't been a huge fan of the Marvel DVDs, but
you didn't think that Marvel animated series was the best thing that had ever been committed to celluloid?
Which one?
Any of them?
The Iron Man animated movie?
Didn't think
that was awesome?
It was alright.
Yeah, it was a piece of shit.
Okay. I didn't watch it.
Piece of shit.
The Doctor Strange one comes out on Tuesday, I'll check it out. But the Ultimates, Volume 1 and Volume 2 were
How come you
don't
get your fingers in the anime world of superheroes?
Seems like an easy jump
for
you.
I do. I worked Legion of Superheroes.
Did you work on that?
Five or six episodes of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe.
He doesn't have to. Do you want to hear his resume?
Yeah, if I walked around pimping, like, talking about everything, you guys would be like, oh, fucking, I hate when that guy comes around. All he does is talk about his shit.
Well, that's probably true.
No, I worked on, I did some background character designs for maybe five or six episodes of that, which I think they've already aired. I've done stuff for, I designed an entire Hulk show once. It never actually went to air, but around the time the movie came out. But I think because the movie was kind of a busted. And
we'll have to talk more about that in a future episode and delve into the world of anime, Scotty Young style.
I'm huge, man.
I know. I didn't know how far your tentacles reached.
I got my fingers in just about every fucking cookie jar on
the
shelf.
There is.
When we do Surgery 101, and Scotty can tell us about the time he gave me a tracheotomy with like a pen.
Yeah. Fuck George Clooney. It's all about me.
The Teen Titans, The Judas Contract is another one they'd I'm looking forward
Sweet.
To that. They have finally announced the creative teams for the
excited.
New, they're calling it the weekly Amazing Spider-Man.
Kind of weekly?
It's the three times monthly. I don't know why they
tried. What kind of month is Marvel looking at with 3 weeks?
Fiscal.
Some months have 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You're never going to have a 3 week month.
It is. I mean, what are they going
to Tom actually started counting weeks when he read this press release. Oh, that's bullshit.
What are they going to do?
Nice try, Marvel.
They're going by the Aztecian calendar.
So they've got the four creative teams. Dan Slott and then the artistic team from Civil War is going to be reunited with Dan Slott, Steve McNiven, Dexter Vines, and Maury Hallowell.
My favorite colorist.
He's a stud. He's a good one. And I don't think that McNiven's art is
the only colorist I know.
Is as good as when it's with Hallowell's colors.
Has he ever done anything without him?
Cross-gen.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Mark Guggenheim, Salvador LaRocca, and Jason Keith are going to be another team.
If we ever interview Mark Guggenheim again, do you think he'll just fucking lie to us like when we
like he did last time?
Flash and used us. I'm kidding.
I'm going to be on this book.
I'm not bitter though. Long.
I have plans that reach far into the distant future.
Here's one that didn't ring a bell for me. Bob Gale.
Yeah, we all kind of question that one.
He's a famous horse.
Yeah, he's a famous Scottish horse jockey.
No, well,
by golly, I'm going to write the comics.
Because immediately when I'm like, Bob Gale, who the hell's Bob Gale? So I went on Wikipedia, of course, the answer to everything. And the only Bob Gale in there is the guy who wrote Back to the Future. But I don't know if it's the same guy or not.
Well, Spider-Man's going, he doesn't need Rhodes.
But he has done some other comic work, I just don't know. He
did the one arc of Daredevil that's not traded.
Oh.
Well, sorry, sucks. Bob, I don't know
it's like
why.
The only book at Marvel never
not
traded.
To be in a trade.
He's working with one of my favorite artists, Phil Jimenez, and Andy Lanning and Jeremy Cox round out that.
And here comes my dream.
Oh, the dream team.
The dream team for me.
All right, Scotty, why don't you unveil this one?
This one is...
A good friend and an idol.
Yeah, my great friend Zeb Wells, who I've worked with and love everything that he does, is writing, and the god of all comic book art, Chris Bocciello, with one of the best inkers in the industry, Tim Townsend. And Antonio Fablo, I don't know him. So,
but he's got to be good.
But I've seen the preview pages, and they look pretty good. So,
are you a little jealous that Zeb's working with your buddy?
Well, no,
with
because
the guy.
Scotty's happy for his friends when they succeed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Scotty wasn't going to write it.
Yeah, I'm not a hater. Why you hate everything, man? No, I am. I actually was just so excited, and Zeb called me this week and was like, flipping out over here. Oh my God, did you read? Did you hear?
Is he a big fan of?
Yeah, and we've talked about him, and he's like, oh my, it's so awesome. And I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Zeb, to me, is one of the most underrated writers in comics, and I think in the next couple of years, he'll be one of the main writers out there that people will be looking for, you know.
Well, for people that aren't familiar with Zeb's work, what are some good titles that they can check out now or in the past?
I mean, the end-all, be-all of books that Zeb has worked on would probably be New Warriors.
Yeah. You gotta say that skateboard so deep.
Yeah, I mean, we put it in the core of the earth. But no, we worked on New Warriors together last year. He's currently writing Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm. And Battling Jack Murdock,
a Daredevil book.
Miniseries.
The best thing I think Zeb's worked on, I mean, my favorite book of his was the Spider-Man Dr. Octopus Year One with Kari Andrews on the art. The story was just dark and creepy, and then he did a bunch of Spider-Man stuff before Tangled Web and Peter Parker Spider-Man and the different incarnations of the book. So he's actually done a fair amount of Spider-Man stuff, so I don't think, you know, it's not going to be a shocker for him to get back in there and have some fun with it.
I'm intrigued by the sort of how they've sort of set it up as, you know, they were kind of open-ended on how they were going to schedule it, you know, not necessarily, it wasn't always going to
be week,
rotating.
3 weeks in a row.
I mean, this could be a monumental train wreck.
Well, it's all different storylines, though, isn't it? Because it's not like, I thought that the whole the weekly situation
would
be like,
it's going to be one
part story. Basically, the three Spider-Man books that they've done,
just coming out faster.
Coming out Well, no, not really. They're because
same
slower.
Time, just
oh, yeah, that's right.
They're coming out slower. Step.
This is like the best marketing I've ever heard of in my life.
They're just changing the name.
Yeah, we're putting out three books,
but not really.
It's
going
to be a monthly
same
book.
Three books that we were doing.
It's genius. You know, and I didn't even. That's how genius it is. I didn't even get it till just now. I'm thinking like,
well, what happened to Spectacular?
You'll get it three times a week, but it'll be three different stories.
Is it
three times a month?
Yeah,
but you'll
every fourth week or whatever it is that you'll be able to pick up the story from last month. So.
Well, will it be every fourth week, or will it be? Are they going to do it every week, or is it going to be the first 3 weeks of the month, and then skip one or two if there's a 5 week month?
They've got
and then
they've
pick
got
it up
me
again?
Interested to pick it up just because I'm interested to see how they do this.
Yeah,
and they've got great talent on it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that was the thing that really interested me about it was
I'm pissed because when they announced this, I was like, screw that, I'm not picking up this series. But whenever they put Guggenheim and Wells and Slott, it was like,
and Bocciello,
Jesus, and Bocciello.
I didn't pick up X-Men.
Cold. All right.
Next story, and I put this one in just for Tom. It is Flash Gordon, the TV series, is going to be premiering on the Sci-Fi Network.
Flash!
Next.
Are they going to have that sweet, sweet...
There's actually a contest at sci-fi.com on can you sing the Flash Gordon theme.
I don't know all the words, but I could probably look them up
Flash
on the internet. That's all I know. Something of the universe.
But Tom, can you notice something interesting about the Flash Gordon logo? Oh,
they stole the Flash logo?
They've totally aped the Flash logo, and
those
I thought that was
bastards.
There were a few internet postings about that.
Bad luck for them. The Flash
bad
TV
karma
show.
Somebody's gonna die.
Was canceled.
Some bad omen going on. So, but yeah, Flash Gordon. You guys,
yeah, August 10th.
Yeah, it'll be next the week. Friday night that we're at Wizard.
Yeah,
who's so playing Mean we'll the Merciless?
No idea.
Scotty. I know who should.
Jim Carrey.
There's a guy who's on NBC in Chicago. Something News? Warner.
Oh, Warner. Oh, no. Jim Warner? No.
Warner Saunders?
Yeah, Saunders.
Norton knows what I'm talking about.
He should be memorized lines. He can't read the goddamn thing.
It would be a great Ming the Merciless.
I'm hoping this is a good series. I really enjoyed the Flash Gordon movie. As cheesy as it was.
I'll just pop in my Barbarella DVD. It's way better.
Sci-fi seems to run about...
internet porn. Hell yeah.
Sci-fi runs about 50-50 with me. I either love their original series or hate them.
I want to kill everyone.
How'd you feel about Stan Lee's Heartbeats?
Not a fan.
No, it wasn't very good.
It was not very good. But, no, there's been some great sci-fi originals. Like the first 20 minutes, it was god awful. If you guys ever watched Second Wave,
no,
Invisible Man,
no. I dated an Invisible Man
early in my life.
Yeah. It's a bad time when I lived in St. Louis. I was very lonely.
All I do is watch the movie Grizzly Man and
and imagine
what a fucking lunatic that guy is.
And Deadliest Catch on Discovery Channel.
Come here, bear. Come here, bear. No, come here, bear. Arr, I'm dead.
Have you guys been watching Shark Week?
No,
a little bit.
Come on, Scotty, you were all excited.
No, I said the DVD came out. I don't know when. I don't do times on TV and stuff like that.
It's on all week, 24 hours a day.
I understand that, but I don't have time to schedule
flip the channel.
Shit.
Yeah, you're too busy working.
Well, no, and it's not that. It's just, I don't want to be beholden to a schedule.
I see. You wait for the DVD.
I like
so
DVDs
it's on your schedule.
Or on demand.
He's
yes.
waiting
nice.
For a Shark Week.
It's probably
DVD.
On
yes.
demand.
And I think they came out with like a best of Shark
Week.
Yeah, they did.
Best of 20
or it comes
years.
Out, it just came out this week.
Yeah, it's like 20 years
yes,
of Shark Week.
I will be buying that.
Sweet. How do you delineate like a really sweet shark moment from an
when
moment.
People die?
Blood. Yeah. Sal and I were talking about it the entire way up here, and it freaks us out. Next story, Ray Stevenson is going to punish
I love
audiences.
This. I love this guy. I don't know if anybody watched Rome. I love that
show. He's fucking awesome on
He was
Rome.
A great
and he's
character.
Awesome in King Arthur as well.
Yes, he was
he's
awesome.
Really good in that movie.
He has a very badassness to him.
He's fucking huge.
Yeah, he's a monster of a guy.
So he's Frank Castle?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That's what about the Punisher movie that kind of irritated me was Thomas Jane is a little dude. I mean, if Thomas Jane walked up to me, and I would probably be like, you ain't punishing shit, little man. You know
that
what I mean?
That was in
like,
the original script.
Yeah.
They had to edit it.
Because
bigger.
Yeah.
Ray Stevenson's a big fucking
he's a
dude. And he can play a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
In Rome, he was a Roman soldier
yeah, like
one
a
time.
Centurion guard.
Yeah, centurion yeah. guard. And then he was sort of just like this freelance fucking killer and
but he's kind of a funny,
he's funny
kind of freeloading like
yeah.
he has a very big range but
yeah.
but just his pure size alone
but when he got like when he would
yeah.
like
beat the
oh
show.
Man yeah. yeah he can punish
I mean if they come up with
he'll
a
good.
Good script for this the Punisher could be a great movie. This is their
punishment
this is their third
and
crack
he's
at
just
it.
A good actor too. I mean it's not like he's you know just a sort of action hero or anything like that. I mean he's
yeah, no,
a very
he's good.
Good actor
yeah.
I don't know who they've tabbed to write the screenplay. I'd love to see Ennis get it.
Well, that's
won't.
The only thing is that because, you know, like Thomas
yeah,
Jane backed out of it.
Yeah, everybody be, like, punching people in assholes and stuff, right? I'll
why
punch you in your asshole.
Why does the Punisher insist on punching people in the taint?
Better watch out.
So
I
many
punish
other strategic
taints.
Places. yeah, but for a Tom moment, whenever I first saw this release, I originally read this as Ray Stevens was
going
to play
the
Punisher.
And then they call me the streak.
I was like, that's an interesting casting choice. Ray's getting a little old, though. Next story. At the San Diego Comic-Con, they unveiled the Mach 1 Iron Man armor.
Mach 1 or Mark 1?
Is it Mark 1?
It would be Mark 1.
Mach 1 would be the
speed.
I don't think you could move that fast. The Mach 1 armor at the San Diego Comic-Con to great applause. It looks awesome.
It looks like you could just get in it and walk around. I mean, it looks like it would work.
Do you think you could unveil something at San Diego that people wouldn't applaud for? Like, if it was even marginally, like...
It's just a silhouette. Iron Man t-shirt. Oh, shit!
Oh, snap!
It's a silhouette of someone who's the key grip on Iron Man. Oh!
It's just a rectangle block. Oh, it's a step! Oh, they just brought a step from a building. Oh, shit!
But it might be an Iron Man.
But then there'd be one dude on the internet like, that's such bullshit. That step doesn't even look like a real step.
Everyone knows this. If you were a prisoner in a Vietnam war camp, that a step would be much smaller in size. I'd call shenanigans on it.
Did you guys see the trailer?
Yeah, I was going to say, they also unveiled the
funny. Like, there was some funnier parts.
He was funny, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. Is going to be very awesome.
There was some funny when he said there was like a little gangster rap moment. Didn't he had some...
No gang signs.
Yeah, that's what it said. No, go ahead, do it.
No, he's going to be charming.
Arrogant, charming, drunk
bastard.
Yeah, industrialist. I thought the trailer looked
I don't know if he could pull off the drunk side, because he's never had any
issues
with...
he's never had that kind of experience before.
Yeah, he's never had any foreign substances
to draw
in his body
from,
or
yeah.
spent any time in prison or
no.
mandatory rehab.
No, he hasn't done... He'll have to stretch for that.
Yeah, he will. It'll be pretty tough. I'm anxious to see what he does.
What do you think? Gives him a chance.
I'm disappointed Carrot Top didn't get the part.
He's fucking Diesel.
Buff.
Oh, yeah.
I met Carrot Top.
For real?
He's scary.
Yeah, I'd be like...
That dude's scary looking.
For anybody who wants to make fun of Carrot Top, he'll whip your ass.
Kick the shit out. Yeah. I think that's why he did it. He roided
like,
up.
Don't let the mascara and the arrow through my head fool you, because I'll beat the shit out of you.
Comedians hate that guy.
And I'll laugh.
You know, at San Diego, it's really starting to be the Hollywood show. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow was at the Comic-Con this year.
Was her baby Apple there?
Do you think...
Who fucking names a kid Apple?
Hey, now.
I'm sorry.
On.
Really,
that's
like,
Jesus
fucked up. Apple?
It's a baby. No.
Well, that's nothing against the baby. I'm sorry for the baby. The poor thing. I mean, that's really because it's...
This is coming from a guy who has a kid named Han Solo, Boba Fett.
Well, hey, what's wrong with that?
Hey,
normal.
Boba is
those
a good
are average.
Kid.
Meets my youngest.
He's got a thyroid problem. Big 14.
Oh, you know Jedi.
Do you think the...
All right, maybe you guys got a point.
Do you think these folks realize what they're walking
glass
into?
Glass house.
Gwyneth Paltrow, for the next 20 years, will be able to show up at comic conventions and do signings.
Why, what is she doing?
She's playing Pepper Potts.
Yeah. Who the fuck's Pepper Potts?
Tony Stark's girlfriend.
Oh.
Basically.
But I don't think, like, your name from Batman Returns is going to be able to do that 20 years.
You know what, though?
Tom Cruise
has had a career that she'll never come to another convention.
Yeah, they had to force
you know, it's a different, I mean, she's on another, you know,
planet.
When you win Oscars and shit,
sure.
You don't
she's
have to.
She's on a, like, ultrasonic jet traveling to some party at dawn, like in Malaysia.
But do you think these folks have any idea the like internet subculture that is out there?
I think that it exists for
movies.
Other just films.
Her
you
world
know, the,
is much bigger than I mean.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The amount of freaks and like shit that. Right. Like movie stars
Listen,
probably put up with.
We have no publication that follows comic book stars around hoping to get photos of them scratching their balls.
Just like
and
us.
Yes.
They're just like us. They buy muffins.
Yeah. Look at them. Look at them.
Yeah, I think the fan.
The picture of Scotty getting out of Lake Michigan. Look at him. Oh, his shorts came down.
That, when Around Comics finally jumps over into publication, that's what it'll be.
He's done a tabloid and we just found, look, it's Mike Norton buying comics like a normal person.
Take a picture.
Mike Norton's walking in. Oh, he has a pug. Look, he's walking his dog.
He's picking up poo.
blue.
And then all of a sudden, he's on the cover going to prison. He got busted with cocaine
it's
again.
It's Norton, like, pulling a hood over the dog's face so you can't take pictures of it.
And Norton getting sued for beating up cameramen.
He's holding Ninja out over a balcony so everyone can see him.
Come here, Ninja. Come here, Ninja.
With a pillowcase over him.
He has a fucking New Orleans fucking Mardi Gras mask on Ninja and shit.
Okay, next story. Final Crisis was announced, or actually the creative team behind Final Crisis was announced, and it is going to be Grant Morrison and J.G. Jones.
It's gonna be fucked up.
Yeah, and 7 oversized issues is what they're saying. I don't know. Are we
oversized?
Yeah, so I'm obviously more than 22 pages.
I find it's going to be
25 pages.
And a big letters column.
It's going to be 22 pages, but it's just going to be big. It's like 11 by 17.
Yeah, oversized.
That's what I thought when I first read it. I'm oversized.
But that's too. I have no opinion. It's too early.
Okay.
Know, like 8 months from now.
I like Grant Morrison. I like J.G. Jones.
And, he did say the first page features Anthro, the first boy, and the last page features Commandy, the last boy.
And DiDio said he wasn't joking.
Yeah.
So Scott Lobdell wanted to. Scott Lobdell was talking to me a couple years ago. We wanted to pitch a project together, and he could not stop talking about Commandy.
Oh, the last one.
There's
awesome.
A cult. He was all about Commandy. And Scott Lobdell is a little
touched.
He's an awesome guy. And he's really nice, but he's like, it was a Commandy.
Well, that was Kirby totally unchanged.
Yeah.
You know, it was just crazy, crazy Kirby
well,
stuff.
Well, what do you got? I mean, as far as, like, the first two crises. wow, that's pretty good. As far as the first two crises, I mean, to me, like, the both, you know, like, the first crisis was okay, but I didn't think it was a great.
It was, and
the second one
was
sort of the same thing,
you know.
So it's like there's not a whole lot. I think.
Well, it's like you're not going to get some like ground. You know, it's like
you can't because
you're making the biggest. You're making the equivalent of in our media would be like the action summer blockbuster,
right?
Where
right.
The goal is to entertain on some. You know, like you look at. Something like Secret Wars, which people are always, Secret Wars was awesome. You know, you read Secret Wars. Secret Wars is not the most awesomely written,
right.
like, story.
Right.
But you got to look at what the goal of it. The goal of it is, like, a kid's fantasy of putting every
character
in.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to judge it
on that basis.
Based on that. If you're going into anything like that, and you think, I'm going to read the greatest piece of fiction,
there's nowhere to go but be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed because it's not. It's
fine.
Not gonna be.
I'm reaching the event burnout a little bit, so it's going to be hard for me to get excited about this. So I'm going to go into it with very low expectations.
8 months from now, one of us could be dead.
Which one?
I might die.
You got to tell us.
Stay
something?
Tuned for more.
That's why
you're
going to
win the lotto.
That's why
and
Scotty's
then
been doing so much work.
Yeah, I need to leave a legacy. Sometimes you are too awesome to live. Yeah, God comes down and goes, you know what?
Scotty.
I think I made you too awesome.
Scotty, something happened. I made you,
what would happen,
and now you have exceeded me.
What would happen if God removed awesome from the vocabulary of man?
It'd be zero cool.
This show would go to like 40 minutes.
Because listen, I got a wide array. It'd be I'll say fucking sick.
Flipping awesome.
I'm so
zero
fucking
cool.
Sick.
Zero cool.
Zero cool.
It's
zero cool.
Yeah. I'll fuck around and bring back rad. I was just gonna say that.
Tubular.
Scotty is tubular.
Boss. That's boss.
I'll go like I'll become a frat boy and start being like that's tits.
Tits.
All right, last story.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Already? All the news that came out last week and this
and was
it?
Last story I have here. If there's anything else that you guys
know
of that came out,
I don't know.
A lot
there was
of
a
stuff.
Lot of shit.
I was honestly a little burnt out.
Go to comic book resources and read it.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there anything else big that?
Well, one of the things on Final Crisis is that with Grant Morrison and J.G. Jones on it, it's going to delay All-Star Batgirl.
Oh.
Oh,
which I was really looking forward to. Jeff Johns, J.G. Jones, I was really looking forward to that series. So
I won't shed a
bummer.
Yeah. Well, and that probably means that Authority will wrap up. That Grant Morrison's Authority will probably wrap up in 4 or 5 years.
But it'll be worth it.
Yeah, well.
I'll say, how many?
All right, what's the last story?
The spirit has been cast, and his name is Gabriel Macht.
Okay.
Rejoice, everyone.
What did he do? Who is he? Is he unknown? Is he an up-and-comer? Yeah, is he a young gun?
Is he on the way down? He's been on some TV shows, a few movies, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Do we like him? Do we hate him?
He was in The Good Shepherd.
Tell me how to feel.
He's... he co-starred in White Out, so if he's in White Out, he has to be awesome.
I haven't seen that yet.
So, but hey, it's
I like the tense in which we talk about everything. Like, he's in White Out as if we've seen White Out.
It's, like, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's a comic book movie, right?
Yeah.
We gotta love it. Gotta get a free pass.
It's Greg Rucka.
Oh, yeah, now I got it.
Now you get it. Wait, yeah. Scotty.
It could be an 8-minute fucking South Park looking short.
White Out is going to be tubular.
Oh, good lord. Is Kate Beckinsale in that?
Totally.
Yeah, I'll beat off to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I heard Sam Jackson was cast as the octopus.
Really?
Yes.
And what?
I'm the octopus, bitch! Oh, get over here, spirit! Oh, no!
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sam Jackson.
I love Sam Jackson, but to be, like... You just play Sam Jackson. It's like Al Pacino, where all you do is scream!
It is.
Al Pacino is the wolf man. I'm the wolf man!
Yeah. Oh, I'm so angry!
Well, Sam, he's starting to be Mr. Comic Book Movie.
He's Mr. I Can't.
Well, he's
say
a big comic book fan, isn't he?
I believe so.
I think he's a comic book reader. I don't know if he's a big comic book fan.
In Unbreakable. I think he had commented that he was a big comic book fan.
I love Sam Jackson, you know, but he's Mr. I Can't Say No. I mean, like, that dude is in so many movies.
Every actor that gets in a comic book movie always pulls out the... Well, you know what? As a comic book artist, anybody who finds... Like, anybody who's not in comics, that... But like, hey, what
when
do you
I was 12,
living?
I read Spider-Man.
Oh my God! I did blah, blah, blah. And everybody that is a comic movie does the same thing.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I read a comic. I love comics. They're great. I love that Super Bat, you know, guy. Bullshit. They're all fucking liars.
Wow.
Whoa. You just called Sam Jackson a liar?
Fucking liar.
He's going to put snakes on your plane.
You know, Thomas Jane and Sam Jackson are going to fucking kick your ass.
Yeah, fuck it. I just said Thomas Jane. I didn't say he sucks. He's just short. I mean, that's just reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Scotty's just holding up a mirror to what he is.
Yeah.
If but he has a problem with that.
Yeah. All right.
But I'm 6'4". That's, I mean, everybody's short to me.
That's wire-to-wire comic book news.
Bye, midgets.
And that means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
What to buy.
Mr. Caters, what is your Top of the Stack?
I had a hard time picking between two different books, but the other book I'll get more opportunities. But this one... This one I can only do this one time, and it is My Friend Dahmer, a true story by Durf, who I guess is a... I went to his website, which is durfcity.com. He does, like, political cartoons, and he did a book for Slave Labor Graphics about being a garbage man one year, and it's about the fact that when he went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer and knew Jeffrey Dahmer
and
in high
school...
And
it's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story about him remembering what Jeffrey Dahmer was like in high school. And
I went to high school with this... Well... He wasn't a serial killer, but...
Well, then shut up.
Beat a girl to death with a crowbar.
I went to high school with a guy who drove a car in a drive-by shooting.
I went to high school with 49 girls that I put my pee-pee in.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. I went to a high school with a guy that was on America's Most Wanted.
Oh, I worked at DeBevix with somebody that was on American Idol.
Wow. None of that is covered in this book.
I went to high school with the Miss America runner-up and Miss Teen America... Runner up.
Now you're just fucking lying.
No, it's true. It's
I
high
once
school.
Saw a
this guy had sex with her dead body
the
after he did a load of laundry.
Ew.
Whoa.
Swear to God.
Hey, what? I give up my top of the step.
I like Notting Hill.
that's scary.
So, the beginning of the, you know, I first picked this up, I was just sort of curious about it, and he writes like a foreword to it where he talks about, you know, it's, he's, admits that like people probably think it's like exploitation, but then he says if he's going to exploit his history with Dahmer, it wouldn't be by self-publishing a comic book. You know how, like, how much money you can rake.
You're
going to
make
that.
You're going to make $300.
It's not a book about like the murders. And it's
right.
Not. It doesn't have anything like gruesome.
It's way
really
before
gruesome.
That.
It's about him remembering what Jeffrey Dahmer was like when he was a kid, and it's really odd because a lot of the tone of the story deals with kind of the fact that Dahmer was a very lonely kid, and how the way he got attention was to pretend to have cerebral palsy or to like pretend to have epileptic fits, and people thought it was funny, so they would keep, you know, they'd pay attention to
right.
him. And that's he would do that throughout high school,
really?
And there's sort of a climactic point
Sal
of the story.
Can relate to that.
There's a climactic point to the story where this guy who's writing this and him and his friends pay Jeffrey Dahmer like $40 to go to the mall and just sort of act crazy. You know, and he got the $40 and he got the attention, and that was sort of the last time they ever really like hung out with him. And what was the most affecting about the story, though, is like sort of getting this guy's point of view of about how looking back in hindsight you can look at things that people do and be like, oh well, yeah, he was
now
weird.
It makes sense.
But then you think about it and you're like, everyone does weird shit, you mm-hmm. know, when they're young, or you know, how can you tell, like, what does it mean,
when does it get to the point where it's, you know...
Yeah, where and he talks about Dahmer, you know, would drink like a six-pack of beer before high school every day just to, like, numb himself. And, like, how looking back, he was like, well, yeah, this kid obviously needed help, but...
How many other high schoolers drink a six-pack
of beer before school?
In the 70s,
it was like, that was even before, you know, Just Say No was around, you know, and it's drawn in a very stylized style. This isn't like Jim Lee.
It's kind of Mad Magazine.
Yeah, it's a little Mad Magazine-esque, black and white.
You know what's crazy is this guy could have probably been a billionaire had he wrote an actual book about this stuff.
Well, you talked about having turning down interviews with Oprah and like Geraldo when it first happened.
Yeah.
He was like, well, you know, I'm a storyteller and I have this story that I want to tell. So
right.
I'm gonna, you know. And he goes and, you know, does it. And I thought it was really... I picked it up as sort of a curiosity, but I found it really sort of affecting.
Well,
you're a
Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's so for Wisconsinites, it's
takes place in Ohio, though, because he went to high school in Ohio.
Oh, really? He wasn't from Milwaukee?
He was born in Wisconsin, went to Ohio, and then moved to his grandmother's house.
My grandmother's house.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, there's certain scenes in here that are very affecting. Like, there's... a part where they talk about how, as a big joke, the high school like yearbook guys would sneak him into photos of different clubs, and it was funny because he would never join a club, and just how like fucked up that is.
Uh-huh.
That like the closest he got to like joining into something was to sneak into it
to a class picture.
Yeah, and it was really sad, and I was like, oh. I picked it up as sort of a joke and ended up being... I've been thinking about it, like, ever since I read it, like, over and up, because I was like, is this really my favorite thing? I don't know. Am I picking it just because it's weird? Or
because I'm
going to really
carry on what he started.
Yeah, or, you know, and just... and then I was like, oh, no, you know, it's the most affecting book I probably read this week. And you can get it at the website. You can order it. It's, I think, derfcity.com. And, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, cool. To go back, I did actually go to high school with a guy, and I knew him and hung out with him from time to time, a guy who ended up killing this girl that he lived in an apartment. And the same sort of thing, it was like, when it happened and I found out about it, it was like, I started thinking back of all the weird stuff that this guy always had done. And almost the sort of same thing. It was like, it was always things to sort of get attention, but in a bizarre way that you would walk away from going... Mm. That was, you know, it was, I mean, there was just a lot of odd things, but, you know, like I said, when it happened, it was like, wow, that, it didn't shock me that, you know, he had done something like that.
Well, I think part
of it, as much as maybe I thought it would have.
Part of it, too, is I think, like, adolescence is sort of defined a lot of times by, like, everyone's lonely at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but what makes one person's loneliness
turn,
you know,
into
this type, you know,
right.
the kind that drives him, you know,
it's when
do
you
something
don't get
like
past that.
Yeah, you know, like, what's that point, you know, there's a point where he talks about meeting up with friends from high school, like in 1988, and they're all sitting around a bar talking about people they went to high school with. Someone's like, well, what do you think Jeffrey Dahmer's up to? And someone made a joke, oh, he's probably a serial killer. And he remembers they all laughed about it. You know, they were all, you know, like, yeah, he was, you know, kind of weird. And then when it happened, he was like,
whoa,
oh, yeah,
man.
Was, you know.
It's got to be, I mean, it's got to be affecting.
Well, he also had, I mean, there was obviously a lot of homosexual issues that, I mean, in the time of him coming up and growing up in high school, it was not, you know, there wasn't Queer Eye and there wasn't, you know, 95 different ha-ha gay shows on television to make it, you know, younger people feel okay with who they were.
And growing up in the Midwest.
Midwest in those times, I mean, that's a lot of suppression and, you know, a lot of pushing some shit down inside you. I mean, at some point, it's going to snap, you know what I mean? I mean, of course, yeah, he's weird. Do the ha-ha joke, I'm retarded kind of deal, but it's, you know, definitely masking some other shit that he couldn't let out, yeah.
Well, I mean, just as far as, like, choosing imagery, he does a good job of just, like, he doesn't draw, you know, Dahmer as being, like, crazy. He's just, like, this very sullen, lonely person, you know, with
everybody
facial expression,
went,
you know.
Everyone either was that guy or went to high school with that guy. So who published that?
It's self-published by Derf City Comics.
Okay.
D-E-R-F City.
Go check it out.
Website.
All right.
So. I want to read that.
Who's up next?
They have it at the shop here.
Do they have it here? I'm gonna grab a copy.
Sal,
what is your top of the
stack? My top of the stack is...
Get out your Bible, dude.
The new Fantastic Four 548, written by Dwayne McDuffie, pencils by Paul Pelletier?
Pelletier?
I don't know. This is part five of of the reconstruction arc, and it's basically the storyline has been after Civil War, Reed and Sue decided to take a break from the Fantastic Four and go on a second honeymoon, and in their stay they sort of recruited the Black Panther and Storm to take their places in the Fantastic Four. This is a the fifth part of six. I just sort of picked this because I've really been enjoying Dwayne McDuffie's Fantastic Four. This story in particular was good, but overall, I think he's just done a really great job on this book. The one thing that stands out about his Fantastic Four to me so far is the sense of family that he's been able to instill in the characters. They really do seem like more of a family. They care about one another. They trust one another. They work together. In this particular issue, Sue is left on Titan as Reed goes off. She lets him go off and explore this mysterious object that came into the solar system accidentally or whatever. I don't know. But and when he leaves, the Wizard and the new Frightful Four kidnap Sue on Titan and are basically going to kill her and Reed and the rest of the Fantastic Four. But the whole time that she's captured, there's no doubt in her mind that either Reed or Ben or Johnny are going to come and rescue her at some point. Even when she thinks at one point Reed is dead, she never gives up hope that no matter what, Ben and Johnny will come for her. Even if she's dead, they will, you know, sort of get the Wizard. And I just feel like they seem more real. These characters seem more like a real family. They just seem to have that real emotional connection to one another. It's not just like a group of people working together, fighting together, whatever, running around in costumes. The art, I think, is fantastic. It is reminiscent of John Byrne's Fantastic Four in some regards, but it's just a lot of fun, and his thing is fantastic, if I can say that.
Yeah, he's got an awesome thing.
He's got an awesome thing.
I like your thing.
How was the whole interaction of Black Panther and Storm working in Fantastic Four?
Well, I think they fit in pretty well, and they give them... in this issue in particular, they're not just like fifth wheel. They actually are sort of an important part of the team, and they do, you know, McDuffie makes sure that they're a part of it.
She makes it rain and stuff.
That they actually have, you know, purpose in the group. The only thing that did bother me a little bit was there seems to be some sort of weird alpha male competition between Reed and the Black Panther, and Storm seems to sort of constantly... try and reaffirm that to
See, I think
T'Challa
that's like
for some
the best part of it.
Do you?
Yeah,
well, I think it'll pay off at some point. I mean, obviously he's doing it for a reason. But it just seemed weird at parts where, like, it was, you know, she would just say some sort of comment to stroke his ego in front of Reed purposely, you know,
the way
I read it.
The way I look at it, it's like you have Reed and Sue who are sort of like the always sort of the, like, troubled super couple, and then you have this other couple who comes in who are like the perfect couple
because they're newlyweds.
Yeah, and like he's as smart as Reed, but he's like even a little bit more, you know, affirmative.
Right.
And he's probably got a huge.
Yeah.
Well, you've got the patriarch of the Marvel universe and a king that are on the same team.
Yeah,
I'll miss it when
he's gone.
Panther's not in it because I think him and Reed, it's really fun to read those characters because Black Panther's sort of like Reed without tact of any type. You know, just sort of like, well, I'm right, so that's what we're going to do. Well, Reed will often, he'll grow stubble.
I like
and be
this
like,
guy.
Yeah. Grow stubble.
I like this Black Panther guy.
There you go.
Black Panther.
One of the other things I really like particularly about this issue is when they get to sort of the big fight scene, it felt more like a team working together. I mean, they were all sort of helping one another in different ways and interacting with each other like they were a real team as opposed to just, you know, five characters fighting five other characters and that kind of thing. The only thing that bugged me about the issue at all, one was sort of, you know, just the old sort of, you know, Sue has to be the victim and she's the one being held hostage and she's sort of helpless. And the last 10 pages, she just disappears. They go to rescue her, but nobody, like...
She's the invisible woman.
Yeah, she is.
She was on every page, dude. You just weren't looking.
But nobody thinks that it's a good idea to untie her so she can help fight at all. She
it's
just
not
is
sexy.
A, well, yeah, I don't know. Okay. But that was about it. But otherwise, I've really enjoyed his Fantastic Four. I'm looking forward to more of Dwayne McDuffie working on it. And like I said, the art I thought was great. It's perfect.
That's
fit.
Something that usually bugs me about a lot of storytellers, whether it be comics or TV shows. And Casey always says that she thinks I hate women. But I always say it's because I love women that I get tired of writers writing women to be so helpless and pathetic.
Yeah, sometimes it does get a little tiring. It's like
every
always.
Show, it's always like, I gotta have a man, a husband, a boyfriend to always help, you know, like, to make sure I know how to piss right and wipe myself and tie my shoes and I'm
in
so
this,
helpless.
In this one, there was a
no
little bit of her...
To do that, though. You're screwed.
There was a little bit of her showing her own sort of inner strength and everything, but at the same time, she's tied up and helpless being tortured.
Right.
And like I said, and then when they finally do get there, she's gone. I mean, she doesn't have any part of the fight. She's not even on the page any longer once Reed and Ben and Johnny and show up. So it's like... I mean, it's just one of those sort of nitpicky
things. It's like the
Stan
Lee issues.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, realistically, she's
she's
a pretty powerful character. But otherwise, I've really enjoyed the Fantastic Four. I haven't read this book in a long time because I just didn't think it was very good. But it's gotten really good.
So you guys are going to end up making me buy the Fantastic Four.
It's good. Dwayne McDuffie's awesome.
Yep.
You will make me. I won't buy it. Sorry.
No. Trades, maybe?
Nope.
No interest in the trade.
I'm not a fan.
Too superhero.
I'm not a Fantastic Four guy. I don't know why.
You're not a sci-fi guy, really, are you?
No, I'm not a sci-fi guy, and I'm not. For some reason, the Fantastic Four has never really done it for me. Yeah. Even when I worked on the Human Torch, I just.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about. I don't know. I don't know why.
Hey, different strokes.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about strong female lead characters.
Ooh, I got to do, when you say it, I'm going to do the sound effects behind you, the intro to the show.
And you definitely, whenever you're talking strong lead female characters, you have to say Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Cue the Nerf Herder.
Yeah, there you go.
My top of the stack is Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8, Issue Number 5.
I would have so much sex with Willow. Allison Hannigan. It'd just be uncontrollable amounts of sex with her. I don't
really?
Know why. Something
it's
about
the Willow. Out of all those women that have been on that show, Charisma Carpenter doesn't do it for
dude,
you?
I have a desktop of Willow. She was in some magazine. She's sitting there. It might have been a Max, but she's sitting against lockers holding a basketball with like little, motherfucker.
Well, like my pick last week, which was Iron Man, what, number 7? It was an interlude issue. This is also, 19, this is an interlude issue. It is away
Iron
from the
Fist,
main.
Not Iron Man.
Did I say Iron Man?
Yeah.
Oh, Iron Fist. I'm sorry.
Shit.
So many Iron
You're voted off the island, brother.
I'm gone. All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks. It's been fun. No, this is an interlude issue that takes place in between story arcs. And at the close of Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 7, the close of the TV series, you're introduced to the Slayerettes, which basically all of the potential...
New pop group?
The potential Slayers in the world were given the Slayer power, so Buffy was not the only Slayer anymore. And I've been waiting.
It wasn't even the. It was like every girl in the world.
No,
right?
It was every potential Slayer. Mm. So there are always.
Why are the Slayers
the
only female? Do they ever
it
talk
does
about that?
It does address that
because some chicks are sick, man.
It's kind of the purity of. Women,
what?
Kind of, you know.
Joss Whedon loves chicks. That's why.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's
he likes.
Okay.
He likes.
I just wondered if he ever did kung fu.
There is a reason why it's only women, and it kind of goes
some
down to the
bullshit.
First Slayer. I'd have to go back and watch it, but yeah, it's only girls.
Not
and there,
that I have
there
a
are
problem,
there
man.
Are potential Slayers, and all of the potential Slayers now have all of the you know physical abilities that Buffy does, and I've been waiting for them to kind of explore that and show. Us what these potential Slayers would be able to do and how it affects their lives. And this story follows one of the new Slayerettes and her path in how she became part of this group of Slayers.
What's her name?
It never says, and it's very
the nameless one.
That's actually an important part of the story is that she gets tabbed for a secret covert mission, and
ops.
She has to major spoilers, obviously.
The
but,
blackest ops.
the blackest.
She
blacks.
She has to impersonate.
Double black.
She has to impersonate Buffy. And go literally underground and try and help out a group of creatures that are being threatened by an oncoming demon horde. And
I hate those demon
hordes. Just explores this character, how she became a Slayer, what she did in her training, the sacrifices that she made, and you know the whole greater good aspect of it, and she has to you know basically sacrifice herself, and it kind of addresses what a hero is, and you know no one is ever going to know that I did this, and what does that make me? And at the end, it's you know it's like you can decide, but in the end, it doesn't matter because I am who I always was, and it was just. It was a great issue that followed this character, and it totally stood on its own. And it was not to do with Buffy or Xander or Willow or any of the main Slayer cast, but it showed how big this universe can be and all of these characters and what kind of stories they can tell. So I really enjoyed it. It was a good week, and whenever you asked me today what my top of the stack was, I had to think for a second, and this is the one I really enjoyed the most, that I sat down and said, yeah, that was a really solid story. It was a little confusing. The timelines were non-linear timelines, a lot of flashbacks, and about halfway through I was saying, yeah, this is really a TV script. This feels like it was written for TV, but as the story progressed, it really kind of settled in, and you got a good grasp of what was going on.
Do you think it's an advantage now for Buffy fans that it's in comic book form as opposed to TV, that they're you know they don't have any limitations?
They can
now.
Do whatever
they, can do
they
whatever
want,
they want yeah. with it. I mean, as far, there's no budget that they mm-hmm. have to be worried about. They can go anywhere, do anything, any kind of. I mean, obviously, there's the disadvantage if it's not on TV, you don't have actors, that kind of thing.
But I love comics, so it's cool with me.
As far as like it being the season 8 of Buffy, I mean, how do you feel it's you know filled in as a Buffy fan?
The last two seasons of Buffy were so uneven. They had a formula of establishing, you know, the big bad that would get introduced, and then the whole season was about that final confrontation, and that kind of changed a little bit in the last few seasons. This hasn't introduced a big bad that they're going to have to fight. And so it's a little unconventional in how the Buffy TV series was. But it's only five issues in. I feel like the voice is very similar to the show.
Do they say how many issues this season will be?
Not that I know of.
Well, people who, I mean, watching,
I would imagine 12.
Watching the season, which I've watched all the Buffy's on DVD, the main villain of the season usually isn't really introduced until closer to halfway through.
Yeah, you're looking about 22 episodes?
22, there's 22 to 24 episodes per season. So until like episode, you know, around 9 or 10 or 11, you're not getting
that
yet.
Big arc. Usually
what's going on is you're wrapping up the season before whatever.
Introducing
that, whatever
some
the
new
over,
stuff.
Yeah. So
I
was one of the people who didn't hate. I did not dislike the last two seasons.
I really liked the last season. I thought
there were some repetitive parts on the last season. But
yeah, season
I stopped
six
watching
stumbled.
It about
yeah.
Season six.
Well, it changed networks and got darker in season six.
After Buffy died.
Spoilers! just the whole, it changed networks and the whole direction of the show and the writing staff and just the different.
Sure.
Yeah.
What happened?
All right.
But yeah, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, really enjoy. But I think we all need to give a good, hearty, honorable mention to a really great book.
Good old
this week.
Hearty, man.
Hearty, honorable mention.
I like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I was actually going to pick that book, All New Adam, number 14, Gail Simone, Mike Norton, but. The only reason I did this, I didn't, you know, it's like
we've picked it before.
Yeah, and we know Mike, and we don't want to come off like, you know.
But it was awesome.
It was extremely fun and awesome art, and there was so many good one-liners in it. And
Jetpack Hitler, and reality has officially jumped the shark.
Stupid Jetpack Hitler.
So All New Adam 14 was definitely top of the stack worthy this week.
Yeah, no
All
question.
Right. Well, that'll do it for top of the stack. Except awesome. For Scotty.
You forgot one guy. Jeez.
Scotty, I've been going last.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, that was doing
blew past Scotty.
That'll do it for top of the stack. And now it's the most awesome top of the
awesome
stack.
Awesome of the
by
stack.
Scotty Young.
Awesome stack.
Nice way to try to cover, bitch.
Wow, he burned you good.
Wow.
Okay, I don't even like this.
What's your top of the stack, Scotty?
My top of the stack is something that is fairly old. It came out back in like 2002, but I reread it this week. It is from ComX, if anybody remembers the little indie company that came out and made really big waves from England.
English.
They put out Bazooka Jewels and Class War and a few other books. So from ComX, it's a book called Class War. It was a six-issue series written by Rob Williams. The first half of the series was drawn by Trevor Hairsine, and the second half of the series was drawn by Travel Foreman. Both which, this is kind of their starting point, and once they got on these books, the big companies started coming and stealing them away. It's basically a book. It starts right off the bat focusing on a superhero called the American, which is probably, you know, very similar to a Superman character who is basically part of a superhero team that has worked for the government, that was basically created by the government. Oh. I mean, they were given superpowers by the government. It's
as agents.
It's kind of the... So the Superman-type character is kind of the head person of this government superhero team. But the book starts off right away of him basically talking about how he loves his country, how he was born to serve his country, and now he over time he's discovered, you know, how he's been misled, and basically all the, you know, anybody who believes in their country and their political system, at some point when you grow up you figure out like, oh, it's all bullshit, you know, there's
right.
What?
Everything's lies. And so he
what do you mean?
Yeah, I know it's crazy. But he's basically hit a boiling point of that's it. You know, it's done. He's figuring out a way to he figured out a way that he's going to bring it out to the public, and he knows everything. He knows everything because he was a part, you know, when they're in a war, he knows they're in the war. Yeah. He's doing the dirty work,
right, right.
His superhero team. So he's done. No more lies for him. So he sets up a situation. I think he lets the media know they're going to be at a certain place. He's basically calling the president out. Has the president comes out to meet him. And he basically takes the president and flies him up in the sky. I mean, thousands of feet. And while he's up there, kind of, you know, you think he's going to kill him. He's threatening the president. He has another guy that he's working with, kind of a rogue CIA guy who is getting a feed online of all the, and they sent out documented proof of everything.
He's trapping him.
Yeah. And so basically he takes the president up in the sky, sitting there kind of little beating his ass a little bit, yelling at him. The president's like, "You're dead. I'm talking to a dead man. That's it." And he's like a Superman character, so he kind of has the fire from the eyes thing, and he basically burns the word liar in the president's forehead and drops him.
Oh.
One of the other, there's still the superhero team in place, still working for the government.
They're not disillusioned.
No, they know what's going on.
Right, but they're don't still give a following.
Yeah, yeah, they don't give a shit. They're pretty much,
they have no morals.
Yeah, imagine if the Justice League was just like, fuck it, we'll kill anybody. It doesn't matter. But everybody sees them as heroes.
Right.
So it's they like say the president. So then it's basically just kind of a cat and mouse thing of this guy and his partner his partner has no superhero or no superpowers, but it's basically just them trying to keep sending out messages. And during all this, they, you know, of course they call it American Gate. You know, he's the superhero's the American. They start a war overseas to try to divert attention from
what's going on.
Of all this proof that came out, I mean, all these politicians are getting fired, and
right.
people are falling on the sword of the president, and of course you find out, just like anything, there's the man behind the man of the president kind of running everything. But then it's basically just a situation where
the fallout from all of this.
The fallout the superhero team that's still on the side of the government trying to kind of track down the American and stop him. And there's just the tone of it is really serious. It's a pretty violent book, but it's so well written. There's great character development, and it develops characters very fast. You find out one of the part of the super team is you find out he was grew up in the projects, became a boxer, became the world heavyweight champion. Huge and famous, and then the government gave him superpowers, put him on the team, and there's just like a little part where it talked about while building his character. It took one page, and all of a sudden you understood who this guy was.
Quick origin story.
Yeah, the writing to me was so good that there was no question. Like, you knew, like, just a simple thing where it gave you a quick rundown of his past of growing up in the project, single mother, hadn't seen his father in so long, and once he became the champ, he saw his father in a bar. "Oh, I'm so proud of you, son," blah blah blah. And his father, "Do you think you can help me out?" He takes his father out in the alleyway. It basically says he took his father outside to beat him to death with his bare knuckles. He rained down punches upon him, you know, basically made him cry and beg to live, and killed him. You know?
So it's origin stories, but it's not just like how he got his powers. It's
no,
it's what kind of person this
is. Yeah,
and
true character.
And now he's superhuman.
Everybody understands what superpowers mean.
Sure.
Where a lot. That's why I really enjoyed this, because most of the time a book spends all its time
on how they got their powers and what they do with them, as opposed to who they are.
That's the character, right? Yeah. I mean, and to me, that's not who a person is.
Right.
That's what a person can do.
It's not their costume and what, you know.
Yeah. So this is just giving you a quick rundown of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you understand what he would do with powers.
Right.
Because if you understand who a person is, you understand what they're going to do once they're...
It doesn't matter what the powers are.
Exactly. There's other little great points. And finally, when this boxing champ with, you know, superhuman strength finally comes up against the American, you know, the American's like, you know, he's a pretty good fighter. I mean, I'm pretty indestructible, but I'm going to have to hurt this guy or he's going to beat the shit out of me. I can't get too close to him because he really knows how to fight. So right off the bat, the American punches him in the face and breaks his jaw off, like the bottom half of his jaw.
Ow.
So halfway through the, you know, then he gets kind of a replacement kind of metal jaw or whatever. But there's just a lot of little great... It's a very cool political book, mm-hmm. you know, showing the dirty side of politics. It's a really good superhero book in that it's for once not showing you. It's not just having heroes be bad for the sake of, like, oh, I wrote this really crazy, hardcore, dirty superhero book. I mean, everything seems realistic. Like, again, in just...
Plausible.
The quick character development moments, there's... one of the main female characters is so strong. You know, she was had a little of whatever guy she's sleeping with or whatever, and the guy's all, he's an actor, he's all cocky, like, well, you know, let's go again. And she's like, I haven't felt pain since I was 10 years old. Or I haven't felt pain in 10 years.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, she realized, I can't, you can't poke me with a needle. You know, I don't feel anything. Do you really think that I feel, that you can do anything for me? And right away, you understand. I mean, in that one little interaction, a couple panels.
Right.
That's smart writing to me, because right there, it says a million things.
You know,
you understand what's going on in this woman's head. So when she is fighting against the actual, she is perceived as being the good guy. And when she's fighting against a good guy, because of a little character moment like that, you understand right away what's going on in her head. Again, it's not just your typical, like, she's bad.
Right.
So just don't like her because she's the bad guy.
Right. She's wearing a black hat.
Of course, the president's liar never goes away. He can't get rid of it. All the plastic surgery.
No makeup.
And, of course, the president is slightly modeled after Bush, so he's always kind of talking hick.
Which one?
The second one.
Okay.
The more awesome.
Did it come out that?
2002.
Oh, okay.
The artwork is fantastic all the way through, even with the change of artists. It's and you know me, I'm not a giant superhero book guy.
Right.
I don't really, not that I dislike them, it's just that, that's usually not the books that I gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that they approached all the characters and this is really, really solid writing.
How many issues was it?
Six issues.
Six issues.
Is it
traded at all?
They did a little, because Comics, Comics was basically just a couple guys kind of self-published books. I mean, they really put out some beautiful books, but they kind of collected the first three issues together as a little mini trade, mm-hmm. and never did it again. But again, like I said, the other companies kept coming and stealing their artists and their creative teams. So, but I would say for anybody who just would like it's a pretty fast read. It doesn't waste a lot of time.
Do you know where you can get it? I mean,
you can probably find it online. I mean, a lot of shops have them.
Sounds like if you're a fan of like Battle Hymn or The Authority.
I would say The Authority, Rising Stars, The Ultimates.
Right, but I was like this, as opposed to some of those, it gets right in it and gives you the story. You know what I mean? It's a six-issue thing and it's done. There's no more past it. There will be no more. It doesn't fool around with trying to show you how many levels it's on. You know, it's like, this book is deep on so many levels. It's really just... The idea alone is pretty good, but had it not been written so well...
Right.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Ideas are ideas.
Execution.
Anybody can have a good idea, but this guy is a truly solid writer.
Who is the writer?
His name is Rob Williams, I've never... and he's just one of the Comics guys.
Star of Patch Adams.
But,
cool. It looks great. It sounds awesome. I mean...
You guys... Neil Googe.
Sure.
Rob Williams, and a couple other guys.
Those guys...
They had a design company. They worked with Sony and video game stuff, and then they started doing comic books. They did... Neil Googe's was...
I mean, because all those guys are working for Marvel now.
Yeah, they all do different stuff.
You know, and it's surprising that he's not, at least that I'm aware of.
Neil?
No, Rob Williams.
Rob Williams.
Well, like I said, before they started publishing comics, I know that they did a lot of design things for DVD menus and movies.
He's probably
and
making a
video games
shitload of money somewhere.
Yeah, so that's why they were able to publish their own comics. And the great thing about Comics was, I mean, it was sad for me to see them kind of because it was only a couple dudes and it was younger kid guys, and they're just like, yeah, let's make some comic books, mate. Hey, you like them comic books? I got an idea, you know. But nah, mate, I don't really want to draw today, you know. But I really wish they could have kept going, or somebody could have taken over the reins, because the quality of their books, not only the art and the writing, but the simple quality of the paper and the cover stock, everything about the graphic design was great. Their website had a great graphic design. They really, from top down, wanted
quality
to give you a good package, which, again, a lot of times I feel like...
We don't even get that from the top companies.
Yes, so many times, you know, like so many times, even in the big companies, their graphic design seems to be done, you know, sometimes by interns.
Get it out.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you wish, like, God, I just wish the logo fit the mood of the book. I wish the design...
There was more thought put into it.
Yeah.
There was more...
And they really were down to give you a great package, and Comex did... before they kind of folded up, was Josh Middleton's Sky Between Branches, which if anybody... They put out a preview book of that, which if anybody knows, Josh is beating him over the head to get that out on his own. But it was a great company, and this was a really good book. So I would say it's called Class War, 6 issues. I'm sure you can find it online.
I'm
going to
go check
comic
it down.
Shops.
Well, sounds good.
It's a good fast read.
Sounds like another winner from Scotty.
Right. Everything's a winner from me. Now Top of the Stack is over, Chris.
I'm sorry, Scotty. I did that to Centris, and he thought I stabbed him through the heart.
Yeah, but I'm on another level, brother.
not the podcast.
That will take care of Top of the Stack. That means it's time to take a look at this upcoming week's books in Future Stack.
Future Stack! Future Stack.
All right, Mr. Salazar,
yes.
What do we have to look forward to this Wednesday?
We got lots of goodies. Lots of good stuff coming out this week.
Let's tell the truth this week.
I'll try.
Waiting on the goddamn power
trades. I make no guarantees.
Once,
my caveat is this may not be accurate, and it's certainly not complete.
That was a good word.
Caveats.
From Dark Horse, we got BPRD Killing Ground, number 1 of 5, a new... New BPRD series, Mike Mignola, John Arcudi,
right?
Guy Davis, Dave Stewart, number one. Black Adam, The Dark Age, number 1 of 8, by Peter Tomasi and Doug Mankey, doing the art.
Finds out a word, read it.
Countdown to Adventure, number 1 of 8, Adam Beach and Justin Gray.
That doesn't come out next week.
Oh, it says it did.
According Future to Stack Flaws.
Hey, all I can go by is the
I'm telling you.
All right. Well, maybe it won't. Superman 666, Kurt Busiek. Art and cover Superman by Walt Simonson. They're doing another, like they did with the Batman 666. It's another sort of...
It's a futuristic...
Hell era. Kind of something.
It's a real
hellscape. Yeah. Casanova number 8, new storyline.
Yay, Fabio
Fraction,
Moon, right?
Yeah. With a Gabriel Ba cover. Gabriel's
there.
Ah,
the Brazilians.
Killing Girl number 1. This is Glenn Brunswick and art by Frank Espinoza. New image.
Oh, that's
series. Rocketto. Rocketto, yeah.
Sure.
Glister number 1. Andy Watson. This is from he did the or she. I don't know if Andy Watson's a he or she.
Andy Watson is a guy. I'm 90% sure. And I'm reading Clubbing.
Clubbing. The DC. Yeah. Won the Eisner and Harvey Award. It's a new series from Image, from him, for the ladies. Criminal number 8, I just threw this in there because I'm so far loving the Tracy Lawless arc on this. This is the second Criminal arc. Go pick it up. Powers number 25, a new arc from Bendis and Oeming. DMZ number 22, Brian
Wood. I like
Wood.
That book.
I know you do.
I hope it comes
but
out.
But fuck next. Single issues.
Fables number 64. This is a one-issue interlude. If you haven't been reading Fables, maybe this is a chance to check it out. It's a complete story, and maybe you'll find out you like it. And Unmen number 1. This is something I'm looking forward to. John Whalen and writing, art by Mike Hawthorne. This is the Unmen.
Mike Hawthorne is an awesome artist.
This is the Unmen come from Swamp Thing. It was a characters in Swamp Thing, and so they're getting their own mini series. That's all for the single issues trades. We got Astro City Confession. This collects
Kurt Busiek.
Yeah, Kurt Busiek, Brent Anderson, the Astro City guys. I don't know what it collects. It doesn't say here. Never mind. Showcase presents Adam Strange Volume 1. Collect Showcase 17 through 19 and Mystery in Space 53 through 84.
So he's getting Zeta beamed, and he can't ever get any.
Battlestar Galactica Volume 1. This is issue 0 through 4, the new Battlestar Galactica book. Noble Causes, Volume 7. Well, hello! We have a new guest on the show.
Stop reading the fucking future stacks, bitch.
The Rocketeer has joined us.
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes 2, the hardcover, Joe Casey, Willem Rosado. Essential Dazzler, Volume 1.
Nice, get
no
it.
No shit.
Yeah. Awesome. Collects Dazzler 1 through 21, Uncanny X-Men 133
and 131. The queer guys are going to be all over
that. I think she fought some Dazzler Doom, fans. Like in her fourth issue.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider, Volume 2, Life and Death of Johnny Blaze. This is the new, it's a trade paperback.
Let's get Blaze.
Women of Marvel, Volume 2. This is Avengers 83, Strange Tales 10 and 11, Spider-Woman 10, West Coast Avengers. It's all a bunch of different stories with different women, female characters from the
it
Marvel
seems
universe.
Seems like perhaps the most broadest group collection. Yeah, let's do a book about women and then just get various. Oh, look at Scotty playing
into
the camera.
Oh, mug into the camera. X-Men Supernovas hardcover. This is Mike Carey, Chris Pachalo. Collects X-Men 188 through 199 and annual number one. This is a hardcover. And finally, 100 Bullets Volume 11, Once Upon a Crime, collects 100 Bullets 76 through 83. I've been
Would
waiting for that.
Would this be a
one,
good
so.
Jumping on point if you haven't been reading 100
No, not for 100 Bullets. At, not at all.
One could argue that issue number one isn't a great jumping on point.
Issue number one, confusing as hell.
All right, well, that will take care of future stacks. Thank you very much, Mr. Salazar.
You're
Thank
more
you
than
Salazar.
Welcome.
You're welcome, this,
Scott.
Is,
I hope
this
those
is,
all come out.
I don't know.
This
might.
Is normally the time of the show whenever we do listener email,
yes.
But we're holding on to all of those. Come back on Thursday. It's going to be our all listener email forum
no
post
preparation voice. Show.
Yes, it's our. We're going to take a deep breath before Chicago. So so come back for all that. But there are other ways that you can interact with the show. You can give us a call on our hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show usually.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Unless
not all
sucks.
The time. Also, you could join our Frapper map.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to leave the Frappers for next week, or are we going to read them now?
Yeah, let's do the Frappers.
All right, we got Sasha Makarewicz. Makarewicz? Makarewicz? Makarewicz?
Makarewicz.
From Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. All right, this is a fucking joke, right? Scotty just typed this one in. Fuck with me, I think. He or she, because I don't know if Sasha. That's a man's name.
It could be both. Could be.
Hello, everybody. You guys rock.
Next is Talkback from...
why couldn't you get that one, right?
Dighton, Massachusetts. Aw, yeah.
Aw, yeah, boy.
Next is Micah Myers.
Micah Myers.
Portsmouth. Ha.
Va.
Love the show.
I think that's Micah Myers from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Next is from Zero Enigma.
Oh, we know Zero Enigma.
From Fort McMurray.
Our craziest.
AB Canada. What's AB?
Alberta,
Canada. For the death toll rises around comics, surprises, and those in the show will fuck. What kind of fucking spell is that?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. He sends in the craziest
Zero Enigma.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're... on drugs or
maybe,
retarded?
I mean, both.
Yeah,
maybe.
A little bit of both.
We got Ma'at from Brooklyn, New York. Hi, guys. Ma'at from the Fixers Hideout Podcast here. Love your show. I haven't listened to the Fixers Hideout Podcast.
I've listened to it. It's good.
Yeah? Is it a comic podcast?
Yeah, it's a comic podcast. Okay. They just kind of talk about comics as they are. They gave us shit about the realism in comics episode.
What did they say?
Why?
I think they called you out and said
good
that they like realism in their comics.
Well, I did. That's fine.
Well,
fuck
whatever.
You.
Yeah.
No,
well,
it's a good, show. Check
I'm
out,
not going to listen to it.
check out the Fixer's Hideout because it's good stuff.
Finally, we have Inelegant from Cranston, Rhode Island. Senior year went by so fast. Have an awesome summer and don't ever change, Kit.
See you in homeroom.
So that was pretty good.
Well, hey, folks, we have been nominated for the Best in Entertainment category.
Yay!
For the third annual Podcast Awards. And yes, we were as shocked as you. If you would like
Not
to cast
me,
your
it.
Vote for the award.
I knew we'd get nominated for a bullshit podcast award someday.
You don't want that laptop desk?
Yeah, what am I going to do with
I'll
that?
I'll take the laptop desk. No, it would be very cool if we won.
Is
but
your wife going to let
that,
you take that?
That is off... That is all up to you, the listeners, if go we vote. Win or not. So you can go vote for us at podcastawards.com.
Feel free to cheat, just don't tell us.
Yes.
Yeah, as Tom instructed us. People.
You can vote up to once a day, every day between now and August 11th.
I like that. That's a pretty fair system.
You like that?
Nice fucking award.
Hey. Some of the other comic book-related podcasts that have been nominated are the Collected Comics Library, our buddy Chris Marshall up in Detroit. He has been nominated in the general category, and the Comic Book Queers have been nominated in the GBLT category, and also Geek Syndicate has been nominated with us in the entertainment
category. Well, fuck
them!
They're going to lose!
Well, no, if you vote for us 6 times, you can vote for them 3 times.
Okay. Yeah. You can go to www.podcastawards.com to vote.
Yeah.
Or click on the banner on our website.
Yeah, do it before the 11th.
The only thing I'm concerned with is how we're going to split that laptop
sell it on eBay.
I'll take it Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I just want the little rubber things that go on the bottom of each
leg.
You're
missing yours.
Yeah.
You can also join our friends of the program. Go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in their store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you on the you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
Another way to become friends with us is to come to the website and check out all the great things at aroundcomics.com. Oh, wait, sorry. All the things at www.aroundcomics.com has to offer. We post next week's topics on Tuesdays at our forum at www.aroundcomics.com. Remember, you can also visit us at www.comicspace.com and www.myspace.com.
Jesus.
You like those W's.
Always will.
You can also leave us an iTunes review at the iTunes store if you're subscribed to our feed. Thanks to Scotty, you want to take the first name? Danathan?
Danathan. Dan.
Lightbomb Mike, Mr. Vinegar, and Mr. Frank G.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of confused by the comma after Mr.
Sure.
Mr.
Yeah, I think it's a typo.
We'd like to thank Dan C., Papercut from the forums. He has built a fabulous wiki site.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time on it.
All
thank
about
you,
the show. It's
I'm going to get Dan blind drunk at Wizard World Chicago.
Oh, yeah, he has many
hammered
shots coming
I'm
his way.
I'm glad you have dreams.
I do.
And,
that's Dan, one of my dreams.
Dan lives in Minneapolis. I checked in on him. He survived the bridge collapse.
Was
there.
He on it?
He was on it like a couple hours before it collapsed.
Well, that's
so he said he was a little
surviving.
I called him and he's fine.
I saw the Twin Towers on TV once.
Yeah, exactly.
5 years before they got hit.
Well, he was Minneapolis. He drives on that road.
I did have a freaky thing happen to me.
This is a fucking high school thing again.
Let me tell the story.
Hold on. You can check out our wiki at aroundcomics.pbwiki.com and it's got all the information.
www.
It is a HTTP.
No, there is no www.
No.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
No. So good stuff there if you want to find out about all the past.
So I took a flight to Florida.
Oh, good Lord.
Jesus. And it rained.
No. And
you hijacked the plane.
No, but a week later, that plane actually crashed and everyone died. The same plane, same flight. Yeah.
Good job, Sal.
I was a week away from death.
You're a bad luck motherfucker.
I may be.
I'm never going to win the lottery hanging around you.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
And thanks again to Borders for sponsoring this episode. Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
I went to high school with a guy who worked at Borders once.
I flew my plane into Borders. And we are proud to help support... The Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
You know, the week after New York Comic Con, after I was hanging out with Carmen Infantino, 1 week later, he strangled a man to death. I was
fault.
A week away from death.
You should write a book. Your friend...
Carmine?
My friend Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen.
It'd
be sweet.
Back to the Hero Initiative, I wanted to mention, you can also come by, if you're going to Wizard World Chicago, you can come by, there's going to be a Hero booth there, and they'll have lots of different people you can meet and get autographs from. Play pool against Paul Jenkins, and also Chris is going to be working there Friday and Saturday. What time are you going
to
be there?
I'll be there Friday morning from 9 to 11:30, mm-hmm. and I'll be working with I believe Dan.
Dave, no, Friday I think you're working with David, aren't you?
I think Dan Papercut.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm working with Papercut, and then David Price and either Eric or Steve from the Comfort Queers podcast, and then David Price from Bullpen Bulletins will be working there from 11:30 to 1:30
on Friday.
On Friday, and then Saturday I'm working with Ron from iFanboy from 3 to 5, and then David and Dan will be there from 5 to 7.
I'll be in my room with a bottle of gin.
I'll be with Tom.
Yeah, so drop by
though, and yeah, say hi. We'll be around there too, I'm sure, me and Tom.
I have gotten
Scotty.
Some emails from some listeners asking, either saying, oh, I wish you were going, or ask me if I am going. I will be out at the show randomly. I possibly may be doing some signings at the Marvel booth here or there, but literally like maybe an hour or two a day. So check the Marvel booth for schedules. If you are interested in getting, I'll be out with you guys doing whatever, but if you are coming in from out of town as a listener and you want to pick up one of my sketchbooks, even though I'm not setting up, they will be available at the show. If you go by the Brand Studio Press, just find Alberto Ruiz. He'll probably have a table somewhere in Artist Alley, but it's a table full of sketchbooks of all different
from
types
different
of artists. So not only, you know, you can go there and pick up mine, but there is, you know, from people like Andrew Robinson and Umberto Ramos and Francisco Herrera, and, you know, just a bunch of great artists have some really good sketchbooks.
It's Brand
Studio Press.
Okay, so look for that booth.
I'll have on my site in the next couple days, hopefully, the number of where he's going to be located, and so you can check that out. So
you can post that at the forum as well.
Yeah, probably, maybe not.
Maybe.
I will. So yeah, so
you might post a link to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Norton's going to be there. He's got a table in Artist Alley. What's your table number, Mike?
5508.
So go see Mike.
5508 represent.
And Dial R Studios is going to be there.
Dave.
Yes, they are.
What booth number? He doesn't know the booth
Artist
number.
Artist Alley.
If you go to dialrstudios.com,
don't hate on 5508.
So. There'll be tons of.
I incriminate and intimidate.
I'd like to thank
Dark Tower. Setting up at Wizard World, right?
Yeah. You got a booth number yet?
You got a booth number? Don't know the booth number. But look for Dark Tower.
We'll have a big booth. We should be back by Artist Alley, actually.
Once again, back at the.
Big angry guy with a.
Look for the Storm Giant.
Yeah.
Look for the Storm Giant working behind the counter.
Storm Giant's fuck.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of
so there you go.
All right, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal, Scotty, Tom, as always, Mr. Mike Norton's been bumping around, Dave Wachter, Mark Beatty, as always, thank you for hosting us here at Dark Tower on a Friday evening.
Blah, blah, blah,
around
blah. Tower.
At Around Towers. We'll be back on Thursday with our all-listener feedback
fuck
episode.
Off episode.
Our fuck-off episode, exactly. In the meantime.
Yeah, in between times.
We'll be everywhere in.
Mike.
And around comics.
Mike's on the crankcast saying that I'm going to be the camera hog, and he hasn't got out from in front of it since it's been on.
Oh, oh snap.
Scotty's just going to be in front of the camera the whole time.
You see me on the camera?
You've been over there fiddling the whole time.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah.